Pet shops would have out what it cost, I did not know. Should I swap it for my ferret? Should I let my ferret go?
Oh, no, John, no, John, no, John.
I had always craved a vulture, never let my longing show. Should I part, exchange my heart back? Should I let my ferret go?
Oh, John, no, John, no.
I did not part exchange my aardvark, did not let my ferret go. Now I have a well-fed vulture, why he ate them I don't know.
No, no, John, no, John, no, John, no, John.
Yes, he did. He had them for dinner. He's my luncheon vulture.
No!
The rumbustious razzmatazz of the Angus Prune Tune brings burbling to the microphone the friends of I.T. Briddock. Tim by a babbling Brook Taylor. John Cleese release me. David down the hatch. Joe Kendallwick bedspread. And Bill Oddy. Now pray silence for John Otto Cleese.
Oh no! It's I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Hooray!
Say, little man, I'm looking for a suitable gift for my wife. I'd really like to give her a laugh.
Sorry, sir, don't sell laughs.
What do you sell?
Frighteningly, terrifyingly horrible hairy spiders, sir.
What? Those sweet little cuddly things?
Sweet little cuddly, frighteningly horrible, terrifying horrible hairy spiders, sir. Guaranteed terrifying, sir. Guaranteed to terrify within 6 months. These would frighten a chartered accountant.
No, they wouldn't. I'm a chartered accountant.
Guaranteed unbreakable.
Are they?
Guaranteed nearly unbreakable.
Look, the hair comes off. Comes off this one, too. It comes off all of them. Look at them. They're no good. They're no good without hair, you know. No good at all. I'm afraid you've had it. Good day, sir.
Oh. Horrible ball spiders. Quick supply is up to your
Good afternoon, madam. I've come to read the gas meter.
The gas meter?
Yes, the gas meter. I'm a gas meter reader.
You're from the gas board, are you?
Yes, I am from the gas board, and I go round reading gas meters, and I'm not pretending.
But we haven't got gas.
Oh, in that case, I've come about the drains.
The drains?
Yes, read the drains. That's it, yes.
There's nothing wrong with the drains.
I know, but I've just come to read them, and you've got to let me in because I'm from the drain board.
I've never heard of the drain board.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, that is because it is very secret. It is a top secret known only to the highest in the land, and me.
I see. Is that why you're wearing that little black mask?
Oh, you noticed my little black mask. Oh, I'm wearing this mask because I'm a top secret, high-ranking official of the drain board, and I'm not a burglar. And even if I was, I wouldn't steal anything from you. And even if I did, I wouldn't take very much, and anyway, it wasn't me that did it.
I don't believe you're from the drain board at all. What do you want?
Oh, well, that's very kind. Any valuables will do, you know, jewels, rare coins.
All our valuables are in the safe. They're locked up.
Oh, well, if I call back later, could you look them out for me?
No, I won't. And if you don't go away, I'll call the police.
Can't I have something? Just a little thing. I mean, it's my first job, you see. You wouldn't want to see me go away empty-handed.
Oh, all right. Here's sixpence for a cup of tea.
But I haven't got a cup of tea.
Then you can't have the sixpence.
Yes, I can. I can. I can steal it. There.
Let go.
I've got it. No, I've got go. Your sixpence. The masked phantom starts again. Once again, London is agog at the audacity of his daring feats of daylight robbery. Scotland Yard baffled. They seek him here. They seek him now.
Hello. What's all this then? What's all this? Pardon?
Sergeant, this man is a burglar.
No, I'm not. I'm a gas meter salesman for the drain board.
No, he's not. He's a burglar, and he stole my sixpence.
Oh, yes, I see, I see.
No, I didn't. I just borrowed it. I was going to take it away and mend it.
Give it back.
No.
Give it back, or I'll pinch your bum.
Oh, all right.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Not at all, ma'am. All in day's work. That's what we're here for. Oh, and Perkins, get out of those silly clothes and get back on point duty.
Yes, Sergeant.
Here is some late cricket news. W.G. Grace is dead. And now, Bill Oddie entertains.
French cooking. Talk about French cooking. Hey, oh, and toi, oh, I've an uncle Fred. He ran a transport cafe with Yorkshire for talk of his budget. He kept the fellas happy. Then he bought a cookery book. It was written all in Francais. And from that day, old French cafe has been getting very Francais. Oh, garçon, quickly as you can. Fetch my pickled onions and watch your cocoa band. Rhubarb tarts a la carte and bring me my fromage. Oh, garçon, there's a mousse in my potage. An avocado. Merci.
Yeah.
Yeah, waiter.
I'll have a pint of Beaujolais.
Certainly, sir.
Yeah. This is no good. It's got no froth on it.
Yeah. You can keep your apples and pears. You can keep your peas and collies. You can take your leeks and bubbles and squeaks and stuff them up your olive. You can keep your jelly deals. Gonna want you all to know that I'm all right on a Saturday night with a little bit of escargot. Oh.
Short in our audience. Or at least the ladies do. And so, for them, here is a fairy story.
Oh, no.
A fairy story by Hans Anderson.
Don't you mean and his son?
I said a fairy story.
No.
Oh, cheeky.
Hans used to sit on his doorstep, and the little children used to sit at his feet as he told stories to them. And the children would ask,
why do you tell stories to your feet?
Then two little girls would climb onto Hans' knees.
Onto what?
Oh, no. Hans' knees.
And bump said he.
Thank you. Look, don't you want a nice fairy story?
No, let's have a horrible one. What about goblins and beasts and ogres? And they'll take little children and slice open their stomachs and stuff them with lizards and frogs and creepy things and then their eyes bulge out and their intestines spill off.
I want to go home.
All right, then. Ladies and gentlemen, we present the magnificent 6½ in a real grim fairy tale. Princess Goldilocks and the Perverted Goblins, or...
Take your pixie!
Once upon a time, in the land of Never Never and Far Beyond, just outside Buxton... lived an old king. He was so old, his beard was as white as driven snow. And if you've ever driven snow, you'll know how white that is. In fact, he was so old, he could remember the first time that joke was cracked. Anyway, he had two sons. One very small and ugly, Tom Littlefinger, called after the littlest limb. And the other very tall and handsome, Prince Valiant, called after 9 o'clock to see how his father was.
Ah, son, it's good to see you. But I think I'm going.
It's all right, I'll wait until you come back.
No, I'm sure my life is being taken away from me. I must know which one of you will succeed.
Well, I put the tarantulas in your bedpan and Tom fixed the hacksaw on your electric toaster.
But electricity hasn't been invented.
The perfect crime.
Oh, well, I must decide who's to be king. Tom is very small.
12 inches.
He'd make a good ruler.
Yes.
But he's also very ugly and won't appeal to the ladies. No, someone must carry on the royal strain. And believe me... at my age, it is a strain. Valiant?
Yes, Father?
I know you're very young, but you must take a wife.
But what for?
You're not that young. You must have children.
I can't bear children.
No, that's what the wife's for. Now, the prettiest maidens in the land have been summoned to gather in my room on Tuesday.
Oh.
And then on Wednesday, you can sort through the leftovers.
And so all the prettiest maidens in the land were presented before Prince Valiant.
Gentlemen, I give you the Princess of China.
She's gone to pot.
She's got a pretty leg on her.
What happened to the other one?
All right. And the next?
The very honorable.
Well, that's no good. And the next?
Rather less honorable.
Good.
Cowpat, the dairymaid.
Cowpat. That is not a suitable name for a princess.
Well, folk do also call her Goldilocks.
Why so?
Because she's got such lovely great big...
Then why call her Goldilocks?
Well, you could hardly call
her... No, of course you couldn't. Anyway, my dear, tell us about yourself.
I am but a poor dairymaid, sir. Yes. Although I do some spare time work cleaning floors.
I better bust a cover.
Oh, my lord, look deep into my eyes. Now, what do you see?
Oh, so, so beautiful. Two little reflections of me.
Oh, he's such a narcissist.
You mean Narcissus?
No, I don't.
Oh, Prince Valiant, believe me, I would love you so.
Oh, Father, I think I'm falling.
No, get off her. You can't marry a cowgirl.
But there's no other choice. I turn him out.
Don't milk it. Anyway, you can't marry a cowgirl. Me.
Sighed the king.
Is there no other maiden who will come and capture the heart of Prince Valiant?
Hardly had he uttered when the door burst open.
Open.
And the wind rushed in.
Oh, am I too late?
The Baroness of Blackpool.
The last resort.
Where's the dear boy? How can I get him?
Give him a dowry of 2,000 crowns.
Oh, he is dear. Can I have my money back if I'm not satisfied?
Certainly. Then it's all settled.
Never will I marry such a loathsome and foul-faced creature. Never will I enter into wedlock with such a woman. I will not. I cannot marry her. And I would rather die than throw myself to the mercy of the world. And if you ask me, Father, I shall refuse.
What is the meaning of this?
No.
What? Either you accept her and this dowry of 2,000 crowns, or I shall have you put in the stocks.
2,000 crowns is a lot even to a prince, but then again, the shame of being in the stocks. What shall I do?
Take the money!
Open the stocks! Take the money!
No, I know what is dearest to my heart. I'll take the money.
Oh, Valiant, how can you?
Goldilocks, I'd forgotten. I must marry Goldilocks.
At this, the Baroness sprang forward and suddenly dropped her disguise.
Prince Valiant, you dare to spurn the Baroness of Blackpool. Well, it may surprise you to know that I am a witch.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, I'll tell you, it does me.
Why?
Because I'm playing both parts here.
Yes, I am the Green Witch.
So saying, she put a huge pointed hat on her huge pointed head and turned green.
Oh, it must be those potted shrimps I ate.
She took up her wand and described a magic circle. There was a puff of smoke.
Oh, it was like a cigarette before a trick.
Then she began to curse the prince.
Damn, blow, bother, liquors, and spit. Now I shall cast a spell on you. Dear, a fat and tailed cow. I turn you, prince, into a frog. Oh, sorry, it was those
buttons.
The prince is now mine. If you want him, you'd better come and find my duck pond. Goodbye.
So saying, she leapt on her broomstick. And off she flew.
Which way did she go?
Go and look. We have a special watchtower for keeping an eye on the Greenwich.
The Greenwich Observatory.
Right. The horrid old crone. I'm sure she'll have gone to her cottage where she keeps all her diamonds and rubies.
The crone jewels.
Exactly.
How far is that away?
Oh, about 10 miles as the crone flies.
Then I shall walk in search of my beloved frog. To the woods.
No, no, don't. Don't go alone in the woods. Take Tom with you and you shouldn't have any trouble.
But he's ugly and he's only 12 inches tall.
Oh, you shouldn't have any trouble.
Come then, Tom. Climb up onto my shoulder. Keep going. That's not my shoulder. Right then, to the woods.
To the woods!
Wait. If you must go, take this grotesquely carved wooden candlestick which your grandmother gave me.
Is it magic?
No, but I've been trying to get rid of it for years.
And so, wrapping some sandwiches in a red spotted handkerchief and blowing her nose on her lunchbox, Goldilocks set off, with her long golden hair trailing behind her. Soon Goldilocks found her feet were tired, and Tom Littlefinger, who's only 12 inches tall, found his foot was tired too. So they sat on a bank to think.
Have you noticed we are now in a part of the forest where the flowers have changed from white to gold, and where the butterfly's wings are decked with silver, and the trees are twice as tall as the highest mountain?
Yes. What does it mean?
We're lost.
No. Look, Tom. Look, over there. Oh. A small sheep cutting wood.
Ah, lamb chop. I shall speak to him. Tell us, Sir Sheep, I am sorry to disturb you when you are woodcutting. Goldilocks and I are searching for the Prince Valiant, who was turned into a frog by the Green Witch. We are looking for her cottage, but we do not know where it is. By the way, what's your name?
Venus. You may ride on my back.
Very kind, Venus.
So they rode on the good sheep, Venus.
By gosh, you should have seen us.
On they went, till at last the sun sank behind the wood.
Help! Help!
The forest became dark and eerie. They trembled with fear and the owls hooted. It was so dark, even the branches of the trees seemed to tear at their clothes like bony little hands.
Oh, Tom, the branches are tearing at my clothes like bony little hands.
Come on, I'm only 12 inches tall.
But suddenly a moonbeam fought its way through the treetops. There in the shaft of light, they saw a little white rabbit squatting under a mushroom.
Go away, I'm squatting.
And with that, he hopped up and turned into a briar bush.
Oh, he's turned into a briar bush.
It must be Briar Rabbit.
Hey, quick, follow him.
They rushed after the rabbit straight into the copse.
Hello, what's where you're going? Where you're going, where you're going.
Down a deep, dark hole, they followed his little cottontail on and on and on. They were quite exhausted, but relentlessly they were led on by his tail.
Oh, it's a pitiless bottom.
At last they came to a fairy grot.
Hello, I'm a fairy grot. Welcome, friends. This is the home of the elves and gnomes. And there's going to be a few puns here.
Yes, listen. I can hear the hammering of tiny fairy hammers.
Cobblers. Fairy cobblers. They're here for the International Trade Fairy.
So, there's a lot of foreign fairies here.
Yeah, like this one from Belgium. He's a Brussels sprite. And this is the French short story writer, Noam de Plume.
We need your help. We're tired, lost, and miserable, for we're seeking the Green Witch and cannot find her. What are we to do?
Don't worry. So long as you've got your elf. Oh.
Then you can tell us how to find the witch's cottage.
Yes, but first, sniff a little of this magic snuff, and you'll be blessed.
Sniff and we'll be blessed.
Yes. Bless you. I'm a troll for the world.
So Tom took Goldilocks' hand and led her up the garden path. As they approached the little house, little Goldilocks put on a brave face, which she always kept in her handbag. Opening the door, she found herself in a sinister little bedroom, and her blood ran cold. For there in the bed was a horrid, ugly creature wearing a pink nightcap.
Oh, my! What a big nose you've got.
No need to be personal.
The green witch!
I thought there was a wolf in your bed.
I should be so lucky. But now you are in my power, and I shall turn you all into little fishes.
How can you do such a thing?
I'm not sure yet. I'll have to look it up in my book.
Wait, you mean to say that you can turn anyone into anything?
Yes, I can.
I bet you can't turn yourself into a tiny, helpless little mouse.
Yes, bet you can't.
All right, we'll see.
Right.
With that, the Green Witch went quite purple, and she began to tremble and wave her wand over herself.
You're right, I can't. Stand back. Now I shall weave my spell.
Oh, no, no.
Nip one, pull one.
You can't mean that.
No, I've forgotten my lines. Aha! Turn you into...
Wait, Green Witch. I must know.
What?
Did you come from a broken home?
How did you know?
It's written all over your face. I come from a broken... Oh, you poor little girl.
Oh.
I suppose you were weak and sickly at school.
It's true.
I knew it. And the other girls ribbed you, didn't they?
Rib, they went.
Yes, rib, rib. And you became a witch. Oh, it's so familiar.
Oh, dear, how well you know me.
Yes, and all this turning people into animals. It's just a tragic demonstration of a suppressed ego, somatic neurotic schizophrenia, isn't it?
Is it?
Of course it is. Of course it is. Yes, of course. It's so sad. All you need is a little love.
I do.
A little love.
And so they all lived happily ever after. The witch turned the frog back into the prince, and he married pretty Goldilocks. And very soon they had a bonny, bouncing tadpole. And that, children, is where we finish this grim tale.
You don't mean...
Yes, we've come to the fairy end.
Get off!
Well, what do you know? It's the end of the show in my John Cleese voice. And now in my boring David Hatch voice, the voices you heard are those of Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and the one and only Bill Oddie, thank heavens. The scripts were by Graham Garden, Eric Idle, Bill Oddie and Andy Smith, and Bill Oddie wrote the songs. The music was provided by Swinging Dave Lee, with arrangements by Gently Waving Leon Cohen. Oh, gosh, I'm funny. And the whole show was produced by British. I'm sorry. By Humphrey Barclay. He's going cheap. He thinks he's a bird. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So that's it until the Swinging Baboon time next week, when witty John Cleese will tell you...
Oh, no, it's the Wonder Show in my David Hatch voice.
Oh.
You don't want to make me hang and throw it, and you can
be a time
for every
and
I
can. Get away!
Thank you.